Okay, we're back, and we're back, and we're back.
We are so back.
Yeah, we're definitely back. All right, so...
I feel it.
let me talk a little bit about some of the music that we played. We kicked it off with Primitive Ring, also performing at Mosswood, doing TV City, which I was like, I like that song. I hadn't heard of these guys before, and I was like, Primitive Ring, I'm scared.
I like Primitive Ring.
Yeah. After that, War on Women from Frightwig. After that, two Bikini Kill songs back-to-back. We got Starfish, followed by Feels Blind.
Feels Blind. I love Feels Blind.
After that, we listened to Black September from Dead Mood, which includes Toddy Cole. Oh, incidentally, yeah, Bikini Kill is also, and Frightwig, they're also performing at Mosswood. Toddy Cole is performing at Mosswood, not under Dead Moon, but I couldn't find any other independent stuff that I could just easily play here. After that, we listened to Deposit Slip from Las Nubes, or the clouds in Spanish, followed by Vivian Girls doing Sick, Unfair from Pavement.
Oh, yes, Pavement. They're playing on Friday.
That's right. So that's the satellite show, which is Wednesday, Vivian Girls, and Pavement.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's probably the biggest band I've seen play the pre-show in a long time.
I would say so, yeah. We didn't get tickets to that because we already, blew our wad on the VIP
tickets. Well, and I didn't get
for the weekend
tickets to it because, Pavement is just one of those bands I never really got into.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I hadn't really listened to Pavement, and everybody's super excited about Pavement. And everybody's like, oh my God, Pavement. And even online, everybody's like, I'm flying out from East Coast just to see Pavement. I was like, Jesus Christ,
people
Pavement.
People do that?
Oh my God. And then I'm listening to Pavement so I can play one of their songs, and I have to admit, much like how I buy shoes from like aerosols and naturalizers, I just go on the website and look for the most fuckable track I could find, and that was the most fuckable song I could find. Because
it wasn't very fuckable.
It was a little fuckable, but not a lot. And no. But
smidge.
A smidge. But just goes to show, I'm not the biggest fan of Pavement, but I was like, but I like that one. And honestly, it was like the thrashiest song. I'm like, yeah, Pavement. The other songs are very mellow, and I can appreciate mellow music, but I got an itch I got to scratch.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I completely forgot this, but I have a music story to tell you. So, you remember when everybody was all lit up about the band Geese?
Uh-huh.
Like, you were...
Like East Coasters Love Geese, right?
Yeah, well, it's East Coasters Love Geese, or Somebody Loves Geese, and they were on a lot of top 10 lists.
Uh-huh.
There was an article in Wired last week that it was a psyop by a viral marketing organization based in New York. They basically planted bots all over the internet to talk about
geese.
How cool geese... the
And their mating
geese.
Rituals. Okay. And their migrating mission.
Yeah, Geese Getting Killed, that how great that record was. And, I only heard of them because Chad, who's our super fan of our DJ nights at the Willows, was like, what the actual fuck with
the
geese?
Fuck is geese?
Who cares?
Who gives a shit about geese?
Like, I have all these friends telling me to listen to them, and they're not that good, and I don't care. And I don't... do you like them? I'm like, I've never even heard of them.
I don't fucking care about geese. I will eat a fucking goose. Yeah, not so much I care about geese.
I'll hell of eat a goose.
Can we make a Christmas goose this year? Can we make a British Christmas goose this
year?
You
want to do that shit?
Yeah.
I've got the...
Joe, what do you think, Joey? Are you saying yay or nay? He says yay.
I have the plateware. Christmas plates from Spode.
I have the motivation and a little bit of cash.
Yeah,
let's get a fucking goose.
Let's get a goose. And
goose is cooked.
Your goose is cooked, man. Your goose is cooked.
Yeah. So anyway, it was like the Wired article goes into some detail about how they did it, and they're proud because they made geese famous, but. It's not because anybody liked them. It was because they had this bot campaign promoting them.
Well, it's manipulative, of course. But honestly, that's been going on forever, even before. I'm not even talking about the bots. I'm just talking in terms of like the music industry creating heat around a certain artist.
Oh, sure.
But it's like, it's up to you. Like, if it was like, oh my God, you gotta listen to Geese, and you're like, alright, let's listen to Geese, and you're like, what the fuck's up? I don't give a shit about Geese. Or if you're like, oh my God, Geese. Jesus, Geese.
But
Geese Louise.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when Smells Like Teen Spirit became a hit, and that summer in San Francisco, everywhere you went, you heard it. Like, it was, you'd be walking down the street and it's coming out of a car. You go to a club, it's playing. You go to a party, it's playing. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was not true of Geese.
Yeah. Like, but it's hilarious, though, because the first time I heard about geese was only like maybe a month or two ago, probably when that shit was going down you were talking about. And the way that I understood it was like, oh, this band is really popular in the East Coast in like New York, Philadelphia area, and those cool cats are into geese. That's how I felt about it. But it was right. very much so the message that was fed to me, not because it was organic. It was fairly inorganic.
Well, and what's hilarious is it may be that the people in New York and Philadelphia thought it was like some West Coast fandom for
You like
them.
How I don't say Pennsylvania. I say Philadelphia.
Just Philadelphia.
You know who I'm talking to.
Not Pittsburgh.
Hi, Matt and Katie. What's that?
Not Pittsburgh.
Not Pittsburgh. They can go fuck themselves. And I'm sure they do every night. Dirty bastards.
Anyway, crazy thing that just happened. And, you know, like, I want that kind of viral marketing for a band that's actually good. Like, yeah. Sprints or Kneecap.
Yeah. Good things. Where did we leave off? We talked about Pavement. Oh, yeah.
We were talking about Pavement and how we were just okay with them.
Yeah. they're all right. Man. You can keep Pavement. I'll keep my $170 that you wanted for me to see Pavement. Mm. that's how much it was. That's how much it is.
Oh, enjoy. It's cheaper than going to see Jack White at Civic Center.
How much was that?
I think it's $100 a ticket plus fees for per person.
Ooh.
And it's Maldoror's birthday.
Yar.
And I asked him, do you want me to get tickets?
Yar.
And he said, I'd rather take that money and spend the weekend in Sausalito.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
So
Sausalito.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to take the ferry and spend the weekend in Sausalito.
That sounds wonderful.
And not go see Jack White at the Civic Center because...
Sorry, Jack.
Screw you, Ticketmaster. I'm not giving you my money.
But wasn't like Jack White like kind of loud recently about politics?
Oh, he's perfectly fine. It's just...
Well, I'm like, yeah, good for you, Jack.
It's eye-wateringly expensive, and I don't need to pay for that.
I know he's worth it. He's a very incredible musician. But yeah, you know, you got to count your pennies. You got to make your choices, and you know.
I think I'd rather go to Sausalito.
I'd rather go to 10 $10 shows than one $100 show.
Mm-hmm.
Although we did buy tickets to go to Mosswood, so I can't really talk too much.
Yeah. Well, but how many bands are we going to see?
I know. Tons. And honestly, it's, again, kind of going back to Easter Sunday, Hunky Jesus. It's a San Francisco, at this point, it's a San Francisco institution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, these are the things that we're going to remember when we look back at our time in San Francisco. It's going to be Hunky Jesus. It's going to mm-hmm. be Mosswood.
It's going to
be all the dive bars and the bands we played in and the shows you DJed and this is the life. This is the living part.
Yeah, we're also going to go see, June 5th, we're going to go see Janelle Monáe DJ downtown for free.
What? Where?
Downtown San Francisco. Look it up on the internet.
That's a bigger area than you're pretending it is. It's going to be nothing to find it.
There's a no, I'm saying look on the internet for the event.
Gotcha.
It's an SF Live event, and Janelle Monáe is going to DJ a set, and Maldoror got us tickets. They're free.
Oh, my goodness.
But you have
awesome.
To sign, you know, because they want to know how many people are coming.
Well, Joe almost had a brain aneurysm when he heard that Christina Hendrickson DJs in San Diego from time to time.
Serious?
Yeah. And there's a picture of her just looking like the fucking goddess that she is and something low cut, or maybe it wasn't, but my brain just goes there. I like her, like, you know, DJing vinyl, and I'm like, let's go to San Diego. Let's go see Christina.
I need a reason to go to San Diego.
San Diego's amazing. I mean,
love San Diego.
I love the vibe. It's such a great town. The only thing I will say is that I'll never be not in love with the walkability of San Francisco, and everybody should know, or everybody does know, that Southern California is not fucking walkable for shit.
No, the only part of San Diego that's walkable is Old Town.
Yeah, and even then it's like, okay, Old Town, thanks, I got my tchotchke, I'm out.
Yeah, but the Padres are for sale, like maybe you want to buy a baseball team?
You want to go in on some Padres? I mean, I could probably afford like one Padre for like 1 year. I can afford one dad.
I can afford a ball boy.
Ooh. For how long? Going back to the playlist, we did have a little bit of technical difficulties. We lost a couple of tracks that we couldn't, that we weren't able to
what
play.
What did we lose?
We lost Mannequin Pussy, and I was going to play the song of her, and Peaches Christ. Peaches Christ. We missed Child of Christ from Peaches Christ. That one was really good, you guys. You guys should look it up. And I think it's just licensing on the shit that I'm using.
But what if you go to Mosswood Meltdown, you can hear it live. You can hear it live.
Yeah. Mannequin Pussy and Peaches Christ are going to be there. And we're going to be there, too. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be great.
And we still haven't talked about Coachella.
Oh, we'll talk about Coachella as soon as I finish the rest of the playlist that we just listened to. We listened to Pod from Snooper. After that, we listened to Return of the Rat from the Wipers. And then both of those bands are going to be at Mosswood. And then we finished it off with a non-Mosswood band for this year. It's Hunks and His Punks, which they play Mosswood. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were like special secret guests. Because they're always there anyway, and they're amazing. So it's Shannon Shaw's voice that you listen to doing Mud in Your Eyes.
Yeah.
So somebody recently asked me, like, well, who's your favorite female singer? And the person asking me was a fairly happening young lady. Mm-hmm. And I was like, don't say Mama Cass. And well. She was like modern, and I was like, oh. And then I got embarrassed because I'm like, I should listen to more modern women. But I do. But in terms of like a lovely voice, right? Because I mean, like, Amel and the Sniffers, fucking amazing. But I wouldn't say like
not my favorite voice. No,
but it's a hard hitting great voice, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of like incredible voice, I was like Shannon Shaw, man, hands down. What
Shannon
an
Shaw
incredible
has an
voice.
She has a beautiful voice.
Yeah, it just fucking reaches down into my fucking the pit of my soul.
So good.
And puts a bunch of feelings.
I'm so
in there.
Glad I've seen her live so. And
a bunch of times
with her band.
And yeah, I mean we're fucking lucky, and what an incredible talent, and we're so happy to be in the sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, let's talk some shit about Coachella. So in the algorithm that belongs to me, mm-hmm. I because I'm a little elitist, I guess I'll work on it, guys, but I don't think that I should have to. But in my mind, Coachella is just
smarty pants.
Thank you. Coachella is very, very overpriced. I know that it initially started as an alternative to overpriced venues in LA. Mm-hmm. But of course, like everything, right, once it becomes hip and happening and large, it, you know, starts costing a lot. And so no shade against the acts, because I think it's wonderful, all of the different musicians, like new ones, older ones. I mean, like I was saying, Grandpa Iggy Pop performed.
It's an incredible show. Peggy.
Black Flag, or you know, well, the one Black Flag, and then the other 20-year-olds that support him,
and the guys he pays to play Black Flag songs.
Yeah,
Greg Ginn,
Uncle,
and the guys he
Uncle
plays
Greg.
To play.
Uncle Greg. Which is very cool. And then, of course, all of the young acts, which are fantastic. And then, of course, there's all that fun stuff about Justin Bieber, who, like, I never got Justin Bieber, but I can appreciate people being in love with him or whatever.
Well, sure. And, you know, Justin Bieber inspired Taylor Swift.
Well, I think it's amazing that he's, like, honestly kind of, like, super, or I use the word organic way too much. Sorry about that. But, yeah, like, I mean, he was a YouTube star. Like, how did, like, you don't start any smaller than that.
Yeah.
So for him to have
covering a Lady Gaga song.
Yeah. So for him to have gone as far as he has gone from a starting point is kind of fucking amazing. Like, you gotta fucking give it up to him.
Isn't he Canadian?
I think so. Yeah, he is Canadian. And aww. And people were like mad at him because like his performance was like on a laptop or something. But who gives a shit? Whatever.
Yeah, I absolutely don't care. I've seen some great music with a laptop.
Yeah, and I think it may be the anger, or not the anger, but like the dissatisfaction comes from the fact that he didn't put on a big performance.
Oh, because it's a big stage.
Yeah, and I think it was like him in sweatpants and a hoodie with a laptop, and people are like, okay, thanks.
He made it though.
Yeah, and he got paid $10 million to go to be there, and he performed two hours a night, so he made like $5 million. He made $2.5 million an hour.
It's not bad.
It's good work if you can get it, for sure.
But you know, I saw this artist Sue Lee at Bimbo's, and it was just her and her rig doing like pre-recorded music, and she was amazing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of like one man acts, one lady acts.
Yeah, I love that.
One day acts.
But and you know, the Strokes also pulled a kneecap and put up slides about Israeli genocide.
Good for them.
But you know, they're American citizens, so maybe they won't get their visas revoked.
I feel like there's enough push towards openly condemning the genocide and openly blaming Israel for the and calling it a genocide that not as many people are getting like fucked with. Although a lot of people are still losing their jobs and losing their jobs and losing their money.
But last year at Coachella, kneecap had slides and stuff about,
and they got fucked with.
No, what Coachella did is that they used digital scrubbing to take the slides out of the live stream.
Oh wow!
And so the next
censorship.
Or no, they cut them off when they were talking about it.
Oh, okay.
And so the next weekend they made slides and had it behind them the whole time they were performing. And
suck on that.
And they lost their visa to perform in the United States because Sharon Osbourne called them out for being anti-Jewish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's happening.
And that happened when Maldor and I were in Europe visiting his new Model Army
friends.
That
was just 1 year ago, right?
Yeah, and they were trying to push them to not... That was the whole kerfuffle. Like, they played at Coachella, and that happened. And then they were headlining at Glastonbury, and there was huge pressure in the UK to remove them from the Glastonbury headline. And the BBC even opted to not show Kneecap's performance during their performance at Glastonbury because... Like, they were during the day. They weren't the big, you know, it wasn't Madonna or whatever. But they didn't show Kneecap's performance in the live feed because they were worried about what they might say. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And so instead, they showed Bob Villain. Hmm. And Bob Villain, a punk hip-hop band from East London, led a Death to the IDF chant on the live feed for Glastonbury that was broadcast all over the world. A couple people at the BBC lost their jobs, but that still happened, and those people saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, like, I'm proud of the Strokes for doing this, because they have a little, you know, they've been much more established, they have less to lose than an up-and-coming band from Ireland.
Right.
But it has to be said.
Yeah.
It really has to be said.
Yeah, I'm glad they're using their platform for something good like that. That being said, like, I don't really care that they came back, the Strokes.
No, they're in the...
So I'm glad they're doing good.
They're in the pavement camp for me.
Yeah, where I'm like, eh. Well, you know, when they first came out, I was all about them. I think it was because I was glad that the mainstream was going in that direction of garage music.
Yeah.
Garage rock kind of music of that
2000s. I like a couple of their songs, but it's
got a very monotone voice, right? Which is a thing, which is a style. But, like I was saying, at the time, I was like, this is great, but not like, oh my God, this is forever. And now when I look back, it was like, it was just a bit of a drought, if I want to be honest about what was available for modern music at the time.
Yeah, and you know,
in rock and roll terms.
When the Strokes are happening, I was listening to Placebo, who I love. Ooh. I love so much. And I continue to love them. They write better songs. What do you know? But yeah, the Strokes also, you know, there's this whole thing. Every time there's a new York band, it's like, oh, they're the best thing ever. And it's just...
They're just New York, everyone.
Yeah, it's okay.
You just think they're hot because New York is hot.
Well, and there are a lot of people there, and they...
Oh, New York's very hot.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, we were talking about, like, Coachella, and before that, we were just for a minute, not on the air, we were talking a little bit about Burning Man.
Oh, yes.
I feel
the
like
Burning Man Arts and Entertainment Festival.
I mean, it's got to be on the same... Okay, let me collect my thoughts. Mm-hmm. I wanted to compare them in how similarly they started as scrappy little festivals that grew into big corporate-backed festivals that the rich really enjoy well, and then the not-so-rich enjoy, you know, with a lot of hardships.
Well, yes and no, because, like, the Coachella, at its start, was a festival owned by the Angelus organization.
So they were always owned by that organization. You're right. And I know that Burning Man was way more artist... It was entirely artist-driven.
Yeah, it was
in the beginning.
It's a non-profit, and, you know, the goons from Google and... Musk and Zuckerberg all, you know, spent their time at, and all of their developers spent their time at Burning Man anonymously for years before it became a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Burning Man is still a place where you're not going to see any advertising,
which so
is shocking when you, it is jarring to spend a week there and then come back and see all the advertising, you know? The other thing with Coachella is a paid concert week, and Burning Man is a festival that has music.
Mm-hmm.
if you want to see electronic dance music, it is the new Plus Ultra, because every DJ wants to play there because it's the most forgiving and open audiences they're going to get.
Mm. Okay.
There aren't people that are paying to hear that music. There are people that want to hear it. And so I've heard some amazing electronic dance music out there.
Neat.
Yeah. But it's a lot to endure to hear the electronic dance music.
I guess the part that I was thinking a lot about is just how, if you've got the money, Coachella isn't painful. I'm not Coachella, I'm so sorry, Burning Man. Because, I mean, like, the whole point of Burning Man is that it is a huge amount of effort to go there and camp in a harsh weather.
Oh, it's
and put up your artistic installations that you spend all year creating, yeah. and then do a bunch of drugs and have all the food that you're going to eat, because there's nobody selling it there, unless, you know, I know there's some availability, but not reliable, right?
You cannot live off of the paltry food provided.
The goodness
at
of
Burning
the
Man.
Strangers around you, and you have to bring all those drugs and the toilet paper and the wipes. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, yeah, if you've got the money, like, the whole point of that, I mean, and you correct me, because I've never been, and you've been a bunch.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like the strife was a big part of the experience, because you're sort of overcoming that, and where now, like, there's a lot of people with a whole lot of money that are getting, like, helicoptered in and that are set up in these gorgeous, luxurious tents where they actually are.
That they don't experience the weather.
Exactly. Yeah. They're not experiencing any of the hardships that were supposed to be part of, like, the sort of, I don't know, character building festival going experience.
Well, it just wasn't very expensive to camp in a tent. But also the Burning Man made a decision early to accept all comers. Mm-hmm. And so doing,
that's
the people with the most money had the best experience.
That is, I like that, though. I like that idea. I like that it was like, well, everybody's welcome, everybody's coming, and yeah, those are the parts of society that that are going to show up with a lot of, like, luxuries, and hey, they're welcome too. That's neat. I like that.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it
sucks on a certain level, but also it's like that's the nature
and
of being
the traffic
that open,
yeah. is awful and all the things, but mm-hmm. you know, Burning Man is still not Coachella, because Coachella is a privately owned enterprise
by a dick, right?
That it is a concert, and it's not like you can show up at Coachella with your original fire art project.
No. You show up with your fancy Shein costume that you'll never wear again,
and your Ring camera light.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend thousands of dollars on food and beverages, and probably spent, like, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars at your Airbnb. And,
yeah.
It looks miserable, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm too old to try to deal with that kind of shit.
Well, honestly, what I think is closer to Burning Man as far as a concert experience would probably be the Electric Daisy Carnival, okay. which I went to for the very first time in my life last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't camp because my family lives in Las Vegas, and so we just drove in and drove out. But you can camp on site, and then you're having the camping experience at this ridiculous 72-hour rave party. That is, I don't know, hundreds of artists. And I would much rather do that than mm-hmm. go to Coachella, because I got exposed to so much new music.
And our buddy Morticia Monroe, she was really excited because she was watching all of the Coachella performances on streaming. So you don't got to go. You can just watch them all on streaming and enjoy them. She was really stoked about that and, like, sent me links, and it was really fun. So that was great.
Yeah. And I watched the entire Lady Gaga performance last year, because that was stunning. But festivals.
Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of, like, little ways to manage Mosswood, because, you know, hopefully it's not during a heat wave.
Yeah,
and
parasols are key.
Oh, I'm going to have to get a parasol. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just trying, like, little strategy. I'm like, how do I survive being outdoors for 10 hours a day, days in a row?
I'm going to bring my Harvey Milk parasol.
Oh, that's a lovely one. I like it.
Because it's big enough for two.
All right.
Well, hey, shall we get back to music?
Yeah, let's go get a drink. We've been talking for a minute. Let's go get a drink and let's put on some music.
I'm dry.
All right, this is Cheap Hooch, and up next we've got Bleached.
Baby. office. I think I'll write a book. Oh.
Sleep with
goodness. We're currently listening to Drab Measure from Crack Cloud.
I like this.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. It's a bit of a long track, which is why we're talking over it. When we came back, we played some other songs, but I wanted to focus on the ones that will be at Mosswood. So we did play Tonight by the Spits earlier. They will be at Mosswood. Yay.
Yes, they will.
And all the other songs that I played, Prison Affair, Automatic, Thick, which was the last track, Your Mom from Thick, was fantastic. I really liked it. Also, Freaking Out from Death. Again, not at Mosswood, but good fucking bands.
Right.
Yeah. So for this one, I'm going to go ahead. I mean, they're really good, too.
Yeah, I like this. Good. I like this. I like this, too.
You know what? I'm going to let it play. But after that, we're going to jump down to the Dead Milkmen, because they will be at Mosswood.
They will be at Mosswood, if that's your flavor. They
yes.
will be there.
We're playing G2, was not going to be at Mosswood. And then we're going to end it with some Frankie and the Witchfingers if we get there. We're running out of time. But thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah,
it's been so much fun.
Thank you for joining us for Cheap Witch Radio. What a good, beautiful April afternoon.
Yes, you have a good day, and we'll see you next time
on Radio Valencia.
FM.